It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
There's a quarter on the ground. Will you bend down and pick it up?
Yeah.
Because I will not.
Oh my God, look at this guy.
Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't pick up a quarter.
No, I cannot tell you the last time I used a coin in a transaction. Did I flip a coin once in the last 3 years? What? I think I've used a coin flipping app more recently than I've used a coin.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car for $10. You're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Friday?
Yeah.
Are you questioning that?
A little bit. Happy Friday.
You're the Friday part or the happy part?
You know, the Friday part.
Okay.
We're back in studio.
You've got your clock.
I do have my day of the week clock.
I haven't had it more confident,
but I haven't had it for weeks at training camp.
Also, it doesn't feel like a Friday, right?
I don't know.
For me, it doesn't because of camp.
That's right.
Like yesterday being the final day of camp felt like, well, it's also Friday. It's the final day of the week. It is not the final. It's like, you know, there's another show tomorrow, and then a preseason game on Saturday. So
yeah. So
that's why it doesn't feel like a Friday.
Busy time. It's also maybe not happy because maybe this is the annual show every year where we say, should we get rid of the preseason? Really? Should we get rid of it?
We can't get rid of it because I think the radio industry as a whole, I mean, listen, they've lost the should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame as a topic. Should they pay college athletes?
Yeah, it's gone.
Like the longtime staples of sports radio are getting picked off here. We can't lose.
Pay college players.
Right. We can't lose should we get rid of the preseason.
Playoff. I'm trying to think what they work. Pay college players.
Yeah, what's like the Mount Rushmore of sports radio topics? Is Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, paying college athletes, the NFL preseason, and fixing all-star games.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Every year, you know you're going to have those four.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So if you take the preseason from me, no, leave it, right?
Well,
I mean, people watch it. I saw a thing yesterday at the Hall. This every year. This is another every year thing. The ratings at the preseason games. The Hall of Fame game did better ratings than every Stanley Cup final game except for two and every NBA final game this season that wasn't a finals game.
Yeah. I'm not saying because it's bad football. I'm saying because of the roll of the dice that is see if you get through without any injuries.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Richardson, I guess he's not going to miss that much time. It's a dislocated pinky. On a play where he got lit up, and meanwhile, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow lit up the Eagles.
Yeah.
But I saw, is it two guys whose season ended last night because of ACL injuries? One guy on the Ravens. Like, I didn't get all the way through what happened in the Seahawks-Raiders tie.
Yeah, it was a tie.
They tied.
No, I only saw that Geno Smith got a nice ovation from the Seahawks crowd.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, last night made me nervous. Because while we treat Josh the certain way that he should be treated, which is don't play at all, maybe don't play at all, maybe get a couple of snaps. Here's Rashawn Slater. It didn't happen in a preseason game, but the Chargers left tackle the year.
Yeah.
Woof.
Brutal.
Yeah. It's tough. So you are in the time of year where I know you can get hurt during the regular season, but at least those games are meaningful. And if you get hurt when you're playing games that are meaningful, that's just going to be unfortunate. When you get hurt during this stuff, it feels unfortunate and unnecessary. I know the Ravens guy they lost is a sixth-round corner.
Yeah,
but
right.
And
right.
I learned last night watching the game that the Ravens had 5 sixth-round picks.
Yes, last year. Yep.
5 sixth-round picks. One of them out for the year. So I ask one of the other four guys to play corner, I guess. But it just... It's hard not to get nervous about it all because I started to say, we think about Josh in this way. Hey, Josh not playing. Okay, great. All right. Everybody else is going to play a little bit. There are 15 players where if they were out for the year, it would feel like a real big blow. I mean, I don't have to list them because I don't want to exactly tell you who, if they did get hurt, it would be okay.
Right.
But, you know, this is not a team of... There are four superstars that can't get hurt and a lot of other replaceable pieces. The build of this team is a little bit like 1-11th, right?
They,
on both sides of the ball. And and play together. And if your weakest link is your weakest link, like how have they lost the last couple of years? It's a couple linebackers are out, and they don't have
right
guys to make up for that. And last year it's Benford goes down. He's one of your stars. But still, I don't know. I'm probably rambling about it all, but I'm just thinking about, man, just get healthy. Shakir got a high ankle sprain at the Blue and Red.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can avoid it, but I just – whatever. We didn't have a preseason in the COVID year, and the season went off, and it was fine. And people might have said it was bad football at the beginning. They say that every year. So enter my nerves for tomorrow. I'm now nervous.
Well, I think they are a team that, like you said, like I feel like they are capable of overcoming any singular injury. But it's the volume of them. It would be like the linebackers a couple of years ago, the corners. Like if you get two or three at one position group, then that can sink you. But one guy, I think almost anybody on this team, you know, not to say anybody getting injured is okay, kind of like the Chargers yesterday. They lose Rashawn Slater. That's a huge loss for them. They're going to move Joe Alt to left tackle.
It's huge.
Yeah. But can they overcome that? If it's just that one and the other offensive linemen stay healthy over the course of the year, like I could believe that. But if you told me now that Slater's hurt and I get another injury to a lineman and then another injury to a lineman with the Chargers, I'm like, okay, well, I could sink them. That Herbert's going to be running for his life at that point. But one guy, maybe you can overcome that. The problem for the Bills might be that there are a lot of guys hurt right now. But, you know, luckily, the Shakir injury, the Hairston injury, these guys are expected back by week one. I think Shakir, that's more so true of. So, yeah, it's mostly an exercise for me in – let's see what the depth guys look like, the guys that are fighting for roster battles. It's kind of the XFL, isn't it? Or the UFL, I should say. Like, tomorrow is the UFL with NFL uniforms on.
Yeah.
Like, these are guys that are not impact players in the NFL. It should be more for them. It should be, you know, what's Summer League in the NBA? Those aren't guys, those are rookies.
But there are some
depth guys.
Some guys do play, right?
Yeah, but they're the rookie guys, right? Like, it's, you know, it's Cooper Flagg who went number one overall.
Right.
So, yeah, you put your top rookies in, but your good veterans, they don't play in that thing. And that, to me, is kind of the way I think coaches should treat the NFL preseason more and kind of have been, which is this isn't for my 30-year-old stud who's been doing this for 8 years. This is for all my guys battling for roster spots and my rookies that are getting adjusted to the NFL. Like, that should be who it's for and only who it's for.
That said, Dawkins plays.
That they're going to play all of them except for Josh, right?
Right, pretty much.
A little bit.
Right, Dawkins plays, Knox, Kincaid, Palmer. They're all, on the offensive side, they're all playing. I mean, if we're going down the list of who's important, everybody but Josh is going to see action, maybe not James Cook, and maybe not Spencer Brown, right, because of him coming back a little bit late. We'll see about him.
That's why I wonder, like, the starters, what about, like, Terrell Bernard has been missing time.
Yeah, I feel like he should not play.
He's on the list. Is Milano on the list? Is Trey White on the list? Like, I wonder where, like, starters, does that mean all the starters or most of the starters?
The story on both Milano and Trey White, as you pointed out yesterday with Sal, is that they're both playing amazingly. And whatever, especially with Milano, how fast he's playing, I feel like I don't think he needs to get to full speed against the Giants on a Saturday afternoon.
No.
So that's a guy that's been injured a lot the last two seasons. Take him out. I don't want to play him.
Right.
It all makes me nervous. It's all,
I'll be fine.
Because all that can happen is bad stuff. What good can come of the preseason?
What is the best
thing? The good stuff doesn't matter. The bad stuff wrecks your year. What's the reward here, folks? And yet here's Joe Burrow, like, playing and throwing darts to Ja'Marr Chase to prove a point. The Bengals are doing that for narrative.
Right.
It's not a big enough sample to say it's because he doesn't play in the preseason. There are plenty of guys that don't play in the preseason.
They might believe that that's costing them, don't they?
They probably believe it. I bet they believe it.
I bet they believe it, and I bet, you know, maybe they think they'll have more confidence going in to the regular season if they've lit up backups in the preseason, which, you know, they're off to a good start on that. I mean, you could have the best that could happen is you feel great about something individual
and
on Monday. Like, if even if it's Trubisky, if Keon Coleman comes out and catches five passes and one's a long one and the other is a touchdown and he jumps over a guy making a catch, you know, how are you going to feel on Monday? How's everyone going to feel on Monday? Like, oh, Coleman, let's go. It might not even be meaningful, but it'll be about, you know, it's like another episode of Hard Knocks. Right. This is just meant to make you feel good, basically.
Right, right.
If it goes well.
But it is fake. And
sure.
It's sure. Fake. None of it actually.
They're not running their plays, and no, it's right.
I mean, we don't even get the spot where you go to a game because it's kids' day and they get to see Josh Allen throw passes. Like, the Bills aren't going to do that this year. So
if Josh walks around the crowd and he just with a football and he throws passes back and forth?
It wouldn't shock me at all if he did do that. Like, he should. He probably will. He probably plans to do that, right?
All right. Like, in the stands? I mean, in the stands.
Oh, well.
Go around the stands. Like how Billy Buffalo does. Josh and Billy Buffalo just walking around the stands, shaking hands, kissing babies, throwing balls.
He's going to want to stay on the field where he can get some level of protection and space, personal space.
He's got Billy Buffalo.
Yeah,
protection.
Right. As his muscle?
Yeah.
Yeah, stay away from Josh or else the Buffalo. We'll let the
Buffalo. By the mascot.
But let the Buffalo loose. Anyway, 803-0550 if you want to join us. We'll talk with Chris Brown coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. And Joe Goodberry, who covers the Bengals at 7:30, to talk about their preseason. Again, like, the Bengals here are trying to prove a point. That last night was not nothing. And I saw Brett Coleman point out something that, you know, he's kind of similarly minded to most people, which is, you know, nothing that happens in the preseason means that much. However, maybe you get small indicators. And here are a couple indicators. Burrow and Chase, amazing and unstoppable. Not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Also happened in that game last night, the Eagles' second team moving it at will against the Bengals' defense. Which,
yeah,
you know, does that have to mean anything? Not necessarily, but Cincinnati's defense was a mess last year. They're trying to fix it, and if they can get to respectable, then they'll be a contender. But we'll see what Joe Goodberry has to say about that at 7:30, because Cincinnati is probably one of the wild card teams. I don't mean that in like a wild card spot.
Although probably,
yeah,
right.
They might be where they land, but they're a true wild card team. You know, the listed teams below Bills, Ravens, Chiefs. There are a couple in there that I would use as wild card teams. Again, maybe I should use a different phrase because they are wild card X factors, uncertain potential stock risers, potential party crashers. How's that?
The potential party crashers.
Yeah, the party crashers. That's the Bengals, the Broncos, the Chargers. Am I out?
Some would say. I would not say. But some would say the Steelers.
All right,
probably
fine.
For that.
If I gave it to you, that's fine.
The Patriots?
Like, the Patriots, sure. Throw them in the bucket. The second bucket of teams that's, you know, to varying degrees, who's going to be the next team that rises into the group fighting for the AFC? And, man, the Chargers took a big hit on that yesterday with Rashawn Slater. Like, that's just huge. It's massive. And the Bengals are out here trying to start fast. The Bengals are a team that always plays terribly at the start of the season. Zach Taylor's record in September is abysmal. Joe Burrow's record in December is unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're always fighting from behind to try and make it in. Last year they missed by a game.
Right,
it's all whatever. We're getting there.
Would you take them winning the division?
The Bengals?
Is it good or bad if they win the division?
It's bad
because they win the division. You might say, "Oh, that's good," because Baltimore is now going on the road in the postseason. So good luck with that, Ravens. But the downside is the Bengals are back. If that's the case, right? And is that the part why I'm saying no? Because the Bengals would be back?
Yes. We had this conversation about the Chargers.
Pretty much. Yeah, and, similar.
And
right,
what,
right.
And what was your poll? Like, what would be better?
It was like 50-50.
The Chargers get legitimately good and challenge the Chiefs, or status quo, the Chiefs can have their division, but you don't have an additional good team in the AFC.
Right.
And it feels like the same conversation with the Ravens here, and my answer is the same. Like, you know what? If there's only three good teams, that would be ideal. It doesn't feel like that can last that long, though.
Yeah. There's something about the idea, though. Like, even if I paired them together, let me tell you what's going to happen this season. Denver and the Bengals are going to win their divisions. How do you feel?
Terrible.
Terrible, because I'm going to feel like, ooh, man, the Bills, it is set up for them. You're telling me their two biggest, the two best teams behind, next to them in the AFC are going on the road to start the playoffs?
Yeah, I feel terrible. Because if that happens, I think the likeliest scenario is that an NFL power ranking has 8 of the 10 best teams in the AFC.
Well, I mean, isn't that all of a sudden already the case?
Maybe, but all of a sudden, right, Denver last year was a tough wild card team. They were a good team.
Yeah.
And the years before, the Bills had played Skylar Thompson Dolphins and Mason Rudolph Steelers. And
old man Phillip Rivers.
Yeah,
the
like
Colts.
You had played wild card caliber teams, and I thought last year Denver was a legitimately great defense.
Put it this way. The Bills played 3 or even 4 Mac Jones? No, Mac Jones. Three quarterbacks in the wild card round that did not start week 1 of the next season.
No. Is Bo Nix the first?
Well, I think Mac Jones had one more year.
Okay.
Cuz he had a bad year in there somewhere, and
right.
There was only 2 years, so.
Yeah, so, I don't think I want more good teams in the AFC. It already feels like it's a gauntlet with just the big three, and...
Do they have to be great, though? Do they have to be, like, I'm afraid of them good? Maybe the Bengals is different for that than whoever would win the AFC West, because the Bengals have beaten the Bills.
Right.
And the Bills have never, like, both times, Bills have not beaten the Bengals at all, have not even really looked good against the Bengals. I mean, they've lost the Chiefs. At least they've looked good at times against the Chiefs. They've not looked good at all, but it's only two games and a quarter.
There might be a little bit of an example of this, and it's probably cherry picking, but I'll do it anyway, which is 2 years ago, the Lions were the one seed and lost at San Francisco. Sorry, they weren't the one seed. They went to San Francisco and lost in the NFC Championship game. The next year, a new team in the NFC East showed up and took a piece out of the Eagles and made their road a little tougher. And then that team
beat them.
Smacked the Lions.
Yeah, smoked them.
Right. Like, right. What would be better if the Commanders were just bad? The Lions might have had an easier way to get to that final game. Like, the Lions last year had the path we hope the Bills get. And imagine that fate. That fate feels tough. You finally get there, one seed. The NFC runs through Detroit. Game one, thump.
Yeah.
Out. That happened to Baltimore.
To a rookie quarterback.
That happened, right, exactly, to Jaden Daniels. That's happened to Baltimore. That's happened to Green Bay, I think. Like, the one seed losing in the first game after the bye is, I mean, that's the gut punch of gut punches. And, you know, it might even be not quite on the level of one of the Bills' losses that people get mad about, like, a certain number of seconds.
Yeah.
But the amount of disappointment to say it's all set up for you. People think the one seed's set up for the Bills. If they get it and then just had a bad day, then that's tough. And I think the most likely scenario where that does happen is if the wild card team or the 4 team coming in is like the Chiefs or the Ravens, because the Bengals and the Broncos won the division. That sounds tougher to me.
That would not be fun. That would not be fun.
All this on the preseason. I guess it is good. We watched fake games, and I'm over here talking about like the AFC championship scenarios. But it's good to see football.
I mean,
it's good to see football back.
That's the life we live now, though, right? Like, that is the whole year is what does this mean to blank that you know, that little bracket tournament in January. That's it. Everything is towards that. And I think the one seed part of it hasn't happened yet, and I'm like not quite desperate to see what it looks like. But so you mentioned how like the Lions lost last year as the one seed. The previous 3 NFC one seeds went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Niners,
Eagles, and maybe I skipped a year because the Rams were not the one seed. Rams were the 4 seed,
right,
actually, when they went. Actually, that is a year where the one seed lost in the NFC. Green Bay, they had to play the Niners, who were a 6. And you're right, like, that wouldn't be great. Kansas City comes in around 2 because they're a 5 seed, because their division was loaded. Sure, that wouldn't be great. But
you could also flip it around and say, what if that happened in the Bills and the Patriots just won the division? The Bills as the 5 seed, wouldn't you be thinking, like, whatever, doesn't matter. Like, this is what matters. Who cares about that? I love that the Bills
maybe
are being doubted, but you take Josh Allen against anybody on the road anywhere. Who cares? You name it.
Maybe. If they're on the road,
they haven't won a road playoff.
Vibes are going to be different than if they had been on the road last year, because nobody's expecting that.
No, that's right.
My first question, if I told you right now they're going to be on the road to start the playoffs, is what the heck happened?
What happened?
What? Was there injury? What were the injuries?
And then they're in the playoffs, and they have a chance, and people are just waiting to get even madder about whatever happened.
Right. Right.
Stupid preseason. There was a tie. There was
a tie, which is good. That's good. We don't want overtime.
Yeah, sure. The big conversation is going to be about Anthony Richardson today, who, if you watch that injury, there's a couple, you know, you're going to watch. Twitter is awash with film Twitter guys, film guru guys,
yeah,
pointing out, and they're not wrong, and I'm not mocking this. It's just everybody's pointing out, like, this is basic football, and Richardson missed something. You either got a slide protection, read the hop, blah, blah, blah. You get a couple different interpretations of what could have and should have happened.
Yeah.
But basically that Richardson got blown up because he's not ready. Like, that should not have happened to him. And
the free rusher coming in on him?
Yeah, should not have happened.
Okay.
Yep, should not have happened.
Because what, he should have checked it?
Well, there's a couple different things. You could slide protection. Jerry Ostrowski was texting me and Joe Marino last night about this. They're both about this. And, you know, the idea is, like, how do you not know? He should know that guy's unblocked. That's the point. The alignment comes up. You know what your offensive line is supposed, how you're going to read that. You know that player is unblocked. And he snaps the ball and looks the other way the entire time. Any quarterback in that spot should have known that player was coming unblocked. And he didn't.
Uh-huh.
And that's a problem. Like, that's a sign that you don't have enough reps. You're not, whatever.
Between the ears, right?
Sure, like, right. You're not ready. Mentally, you're not processing the game the way that you need to be at the NFL level, or even really, honestly, a lower level for that.
Right, because he's got no
awareness.
No, he has no idea this guy is coming.
It's one thing if he's going to say, I see him unblocked, watch my running back leak out behind him, and then pass it. He doesn't. He doesn't even look. It's why he gets
drilled.
Crunched.
Yeah.
He doesn't look. It's an unblocked player. And he doesn't know. And that's not on the offensive line. So,
is it on the running back?
No. I mean, maybe everybody else on the field knew that player was coming unblocked and thought, like, okay, he's going to throw to the hot.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Right. The running back looks before he gets to the line of scrimmage. So, that's what I mean. Is it possible that the running back was supposed to block and he didn't? But I'm not sure. That's a leap. It's on one of the two. I would say that.
Yep.
Because if the running back stays in there and chips him or blocks him, Richardson's got time. But he ran the route immediately. That almost kind of implies that he either, again, didn't get the thing wrong or didn't get the thing right, or his quarterback didn't tell him that you need to stay in a block. Either way.
803-0550. We'll play a Josh Allen's comment on James Cook, which I think should not be dismissed. Allen on Cook yesterday to wrap camp. His thought on it, how he says they feel about it. I do not think you should take it lightly, because I think it does matter what Allen thinks. He says he's not making decisions. That's right. But what he thinks and what he says matters. And I thought he had a really strong message yesterday. We'll play that for you when we return. Get your phone calls. Bengals check in at 7:30, 8 o'clock. It'll be Chris Brown ahead of Bills-Giants preseason game number one on the way tomorrow here on WGR.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, there is this huge business piece to this game. It's the hardest part. A lot of people don't understand it. You know, he's holding out, he's holding in, whatever he's doing, and people want to. But hey, it's generational stuff. It's wealth for you and your family. It's not a small chunk of change, and making sure that he's healthy and still going through the mental reps, and he's still doing that. He's a pro, and he knows what he's doing.
Josh Allen on James Cook. There's more to that. But as he says, generational stuff. Like, Allen's, what, he says a lot of people don't understand it. He's taken up for his guy. And then and then says they want him out there really badly, too. Taken up for his guy. I guess. His guy. Maybe, I don't know how far I want to go with his guy, but his teammate. Right?
Yeah.
Taken up for Cook.
I saw a quote from Muhammad Ali yesterday, which was someone was criticizing him for taking the money on a fight. He said, well, the Rockefellers have money, and they're still trying to get it. Like, whatever.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
He had a lot of good quotes.
He did. That's my new algorithm.
Yeah,
it's just Ali quotes. Ali quotes. Which I've been enjoying.
All right,
here's one of my favorite algorithms.
Here's the rest of Allen.
It's no doubt that we all want him out there with us. You know, I've got no say in what goes on behind closed doors, and I'm a big advocate of everybody getting theirs and getting paid. And you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and you know that's kind of where it's at.
As he says, everybody getting theirs. There's a little bit of a, what am I going to say here, right? Everybody eats. What about the contract table?
Boo.
Mm-hmm. Then again, maybe Cook is in the eyes of some trying to get a little too much of a helping. He should, you know, take what's right.
Only if, and this is, I don't think how players think or would feel about it. You would think, hey, I took a hometown discount, if you will, if they would feel that they did,
even if they did, to
bypass the potential to go make more money elsewhere. How come you're not doing that?
Well, they got security. The guys that signed got security. They took a deal. Do you want $30 million today, or do you want to take your chances and watch all these guys blow out their ACLs in the preseason and go through 17 more games in a postseason of that, and then see if instead of 30, you can get 40?
Well, isn't that what Cook's doing?
Maybe. Depends on what the offer from the Bills is. That's the only thing. We kind of...
But we would believe there's an offer that would present him with security, right?
Yes, the question is it the appropriate amount? Because I just gave you 30 versus 40. If their security is 14 guaranteed versus the open market might give him 32 guaranteed.
Like, is his equivalent of Benford's $17 million, $10
million? Yeah.
Because Benford is, I think, a top-level corner in the league, and he's making, what is he making, $10 million a year less than the top guy? Well, I don't know what Sertan's making these days. Is it like around $27, $28 million probably per year? And he would be getting, you know, I guess though, when you start getting into a lower number, him getting like 10 or 11 actually would be less compared to the top running back, because that's half. Half the top running back versus, I don't know what Benford makes compared to like the top corner in the league.
Sertan makes less than 25. It's about $24 million a year.
Okay, so maybe that's not a good comparison. Because Benford actually at $17 million a year would be closer to the highest paid corner than Cook would be to the highest paid running back.
He'd be about halfway. The highest paid running back. Can I tell you something very funny?
I wonder if that's something that he and his agent have done. Like, hey, this is how close Rousseau was to the top guy at his position. This is how close Benford was to the top guy at his position. How close Bernard was. That's what we want.
Yeah.
All those guys are 80% of the way to the top player at their position. And you're telling us that you're offering us something that's only 60% of the way to the top player at our position.
Well,
like, I wonder if that, because that's not positional. That's a different way of doing it. I've never heard of a team or a player doing it that way, but it feels like something you could do when your team has handed out a bunch of extensions in one offseason.
Yeah, you and your agent can kind of argue whatever you want. And, you know, as you lay that out, you know, it's about 75% of the way to the top money among running backs, $15 million. Like, is that
right?
Is that number that maybe came out of thin air?
Maybe it was well thought out.
One quick note, kind of funny on Patrick Sertan's contract. So I Googled Patrick Sertan signs, and I found out he's in Aries. So there you go. Google returned his sign.
Would that?
I thought AI was supposed to be getting better with this. I just wanted to know his contract, and right away it pops up Aries.
Man, you got to be a fan if you know like the signs of your favorite players. I'm sure there's a Bills fan out there, right, that would know every one of the player's signs.
No, here's it. If you know a player shares your birthday or is close,
then you'll know their sign. That's right.
Like I know Carlos Delgado's sign. He's a Cancer because I am.
Okay.
Anyway, Mike in Rochester. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. I know everybody's talking about the James Cook thing. I apologize to talk about it, but I know
no, it's great. I mean, like, you know, we're into it.
Now, is it physically possible to even take on a contract for what he's asking for? Not even the 15, but even the 11. Last time I looked online, we don't have any. We're over the cap right now. So I mean, do we have to make some sort of a move to get to cap? And then how would we even factor in getting him a contract if we don't have the money?
Well,
so it's not possible.
No, it's very possible. In fact, if the Bills did it, it would help their cap. When you sign a contract, you can drop a player's cap hit. The Bills did this with Shakir. Shakir's new contract dropped his number. And Cook's number is about $5 million this year. They signed him to an $11 million extension, rather. His cap hit could drop to $2 million, and they would create room to do it. Rousseau, same thing. It's one of the reasons that when we've talked about this group of guys that they re-signed, that's Bernard, Rousseau, Benford, Shakir, and then Cook was the fifth. Some of those guys didn't have franchise tag leverage because you know the Bills would never have franchise tagged them. And Cook, I think, is in that department of not having that leverage. The Bills, under no circumstances next year, I don't think, would franchise tag him. They might say they might,
yeah, no.
But franchise tag means there's no moving around of the cap. The $13 million franchise tag would mean a $13 million cap hit. Whereas if you just signed him to a $13 million extension today, you could toss a void year or two on it and drop the number. I don't exactly know how void years work.
Mm-hmm.
When Brandon Bean said, like, there are people out there doing the cap and it's not exactly like that, I thought, that's me. I kind of don't always understand it. I trust some people. But the point is, if they sign Cook, his number could drop. It could do the Bills a favor to get under the cap if, in fact, they still have to make a move. You know, who's on the final 53 matters for that. They could save $1 million by making the right – or not the right, but making a quarterback decision to go for Mike White instead of Trubisky, save $1 million there. If they were to – I don't know, could – I don't want to say, like, Curtis Samuel get traded, save $9 million there. It's almost impossible. He missed the entirety of camp. But, yeah, Cook, in terms of signing him on this year's cap, would help more than likely. And on future caps – you know, it'd be some space, but it is one of the lower paid positions.
Yeah,
it's one of the reasons that, you know, not to call back a long held conversation and talking point, and you know, over and over again about the train behind me. But the Bills have drafted running backs, which is a cheap position, and they have not, in my opinion, drafted enough of a very expensive position of wide receiver. Like, quarterback's expensive, defensive end's expensive. They draft a lot of defensive ends. That's one of the reasons. And every time they draft a running back, I think, you're not going to save that much money. They don't make that much.
No.
So, you know, to answer your question, Mike, yes, they could absolutely fit him on the cap this year. In fact, it would more than likely help if they came to an extension.
I just did some quick math on what the four guys that signed this offseason make compared to the top guys at the position.
Okay.
Like, what percentage of Rousseau, Benford, Bernard, and Shakir, what they got, the top money in the league?
It's a good question. And then I want to follow up each one with asking what percentage of the production / impact are they compared to the top guy at the position.
All right. I'll start with the lowest percentage. So Khalil Shakir makes 32%. Of what's the way to word this? He's 32% of the way to the highest paid receiver
his
in the league.
AAV?
His AAV. All this is just the AAV.
Gotcha. Yeah. So he makes like 13 and the high is 30.
Is 40.
Okay, 40. For Chase?
For Chase.
Yeah. Okay.
So 32%.
That to me seems about right. Does it not?
Yeah.
Like, you're a slot receiver versus the best outside, the best overall receiver in football, one of the top two. Like, all right, 33% of that sounds about right.
Right. Terrell Bernard, 50% of the way there to the highest paid linebacker in football.
Okay.
Christian Benford, 57.1%.
Okay. That feels like a little more of a bargain.
Greg Rousseau, by the way, like, same number, 56.1.
Okay.
They're like the same.
Gotcha. Now, Greg Rousseau had 8 sacks last year, and the best guys, Myles Garrett, got 40.
Yep.
Like, is Greg Rousseau 57% of the player Myles Garrett is? Might be about 60.
Yeah.
You know?
That's probably about fair, right? But the highest number there is what? 57%.
57%.
You know, 57% of Barkley's money
like
is?
11 million.
11.9.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But could Cook stand on thinking, I am closer to the peak of my position than any, like, the agent would say this, but
yep.
I'm closer to the peak of my position than any of those four guys. Those four guys are.
He could. And I don't know how right he would be. How many of those is he definitely closer to the top guy than the other guy is?
Definitely Shakir.
I think arguably Shakir, but probably yes, Shakir. I feel like somebody might want to push back on that. But not closer to the top running back than what? I don't know.
I think Benford has a leg to stand on that he's closer to the best at his position in the league than Cook is.
And then nobody else?
Yeah, that would be the one I would go. I would look at. Yeah,
we found another way to talk about this. You know,
yeah.
This should be an award. You should get. You should be recognized.
Well, I mean, he's not settling for like. I mean, if you think it's Shakir, you know, and this is a way to do it, then you know what's 32% of Barkley's money? That's $6 million.
Yeah,
and there's 0% chance. Could that be what the Bills are offering? Is it impossible? That's their offer? $6 million. Could they be?
It's not possible.
Because that would be so far apart that it would be reported that way.
Yes. I shouldn't say that's not possible, but that would be
stunning.
That would be what the Bengals offer Hendrickson. Like, here's a $1 million raise. Like, that would be, you would think he would be more upset. But he'd demand a trade. If the offer was six, he'd demand a trade.
Yeah. $6 million is like what Devin Singletary makes with the Giants.
All right.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Devin Singletary's
a joke.
Devin Singletary's out here getting six.
Yeah.
And the Bills pay James Cook five.
Right.
803-0550 to join us.
That's a bad contract for the Giants.
Joe Goodberry at 7:30 on the Bengals, who just played last night. Bills and Giants coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And we'll talk with Chris Brown to recap camp and preview tomorrow's game. Who's got the most to gain? All that good stuff. Preseason time, baby. It is preseason time. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
And that's blocked. And this one is going to end in a tie in Seattle. As big number 5-6 gets up and Jalen Gaines blocks that kick. And this game, Mike Robb, is going to end, much to Pete Carroll's chagrin,
yeah,
in a tie.
A tie between the Seahawks and the Raiders. Ooh, Jalen Milroe. We got any good highlights here?
He had one. This is going to be the play I saw, where he sprinted up the sideline, showed some good speed. It'd be fun if he got in this year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, something's gone wrong for Sam Darnold, yeah, if that's happened. But
that's right.
Which, how is that going to go? That might be the team I've thought the least about all offseason.
Seattle?
Yeah. I don't think there's a team in the National Football League I've thought less about this summer than Seattle.
He got
What are they going to be? They're going to be seven wins? What? They're nothing exciting, right? They're not going to be the worst team in the league. They're not going to be great.
Well, when Torrey Horton leads them to the promised land.
Oh, that's why, yeah. I mean, no Metcalf or Lockett. Although they added Kupp, which is pretty good, I guess.
Meh. Torrey Horton. Fifth round, that's right,
Did read a review that Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to play a ton on the outside this year.
Okay.
And he's been more in the slot in recent years, but he's also been great when he's played outside. So I feel like they have a belief that he can do that because Kupp's going to play in the slot.
I just have to check where Torrey Horton went in that fifth round. 30th, okay.
Colorado State for Torrey Horton?
Torrey Horton went six picks before Jordan Hancock.
Okay.
Sorry, four picks.
This player is only coming up because Jeremy has him in Dynasty.
I have him in Dynasty because I drafted him because I liked him because he's a wide receiver. That's how that works. I like them.
So you just draft all wide receivers then?
I kind of did in that league, yeah, and Horton is one of them.
So how come you didn't take my offer of Terry McLaurin the other day? Because you love wide receivers. I offered you Terry McLaurin in a deal where you didn't have to give me a wide receiver back. And he said no.
You were trying to get Trey McBride?
Semantics.
You know, I'm not eager to do that. I got to get some drafts on the board.
Now's the time.
I know.
When's Guillotine?
I don't know. Good question.
I
usually load my drafts the 4 days before the season starts. Really? I think I have a draft Thursday the night it opens, Wednesday the night before, yeah. Tuesday the night before that.
This is your league, though. Don't you want everybody to know when it's going to be?
Which one? The Guillotine League?
Yeah.
I think I scheduled it for Wednesday the 3rd.
Okay. Gotcha. Of September.
Yes.
So right before the...
Right before the season.
Because that's the day before, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
Before... who starts?
Eagles and Giants.
Thank you.
No. Eagles and Cowboys.
Eagles and Cowboys.
Sorry. And then we are not getting the Giants.
And then
the
next night, of course, is Chiefs-Chargers.
In Brazil. I forgot about that.
In Brazil. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.